if the purge is real, and I have to operate within those confines and worry about the fact that, yes, if I break into the mall, the Neon Gang from Batman Forever is going to be there, so I can't go there.
They are definitely like a purge gang.
Yes. Hello, welcome to Guide to the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
And this week, we are going to be answering listener questions from you all out there. Thank you so much for sending us your questions in the Guide to the Unknown Secret Society group on Facebook and on our Patreon page at patreon.com/gttupod.
Yeah, it's been a little while since we've done this. I know that we talked listener questions a while back.
I think it was at least a year ago, if not more.
I think it's good to have these spaced out.
Oh, I do too. I'm not like, oh, I can't believe it's only once a year or whatever. Totally. But it has been a long time.
It's been a long time, and I'm very happy to be back here.
Me too. It's fun. You guys have fun, interesting ideas.
Yeah.
They're always cool things to play off of.
We also like being surprised by things, which is tricky when it's just the two of us.
Right.
So Kristen's curated the list of questions. I have not seen a single one.
To say curated is not really accurate because I put up posts asking for questions and I haven't really looked at them since.
Okay.
I kind of skimmed them as they were coming in. I would like some people's questions, but I wanted us to equally be going in fresh.
Right.
So curated isn't quite right. Asked for, but I haven't like gone through
them.
Okay,
so that way they're somewhat new to you as well.
They are. I'm going to read them as they came in, basically.
Okay. And to also follow that up, if you have a question of your own that you'd like for us to answer, still send that in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
I will say off
we're not going to get to everything.
We're not. So that's what I was about to say. Off the bat, I'm going to tell you that if you asked us a question and you don't hear us talk about it in this episode, you can expect that there is going to be another batch because we awesomely and like I was very pleasantly surprised, we got a lot of questions. So I'm anticipating having this be a multi-part series.
Right, yeah, which I'm more than happy to do.
Same, yeah. Same. All right, so let's get into it. We are going to start off with a couple of questions from Caitlin.
Okay.
Let's start here. If all of horror's famous final girls united for a new slasher movie, who would be the final girl? Laurie Strode, Nancy Thompson, Sally Hardesty, Alice Hardy, et cetera, et cetera. So we can insert our own in here.
Okay.
Who we think would be the final girl.
That's interesting. Can you read that list of people again?
I will. Laurie Strode, Nancy Thompson.
From
Nightmare.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sally Hardesty.
Texas Chainsaw.
Alice Hardy.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Off the top, I got to tell you, not even just because she tops this list, I think Laurie Strode is kind of the ultimate.
I agree with you. Let's consider this.
Yes, I know. Because first I thought Laurie Strode.
Right.
Then my mind obviously goes, because I'm a scream nerd, well, what about Sidney Prescott? I can't help but picture Laurie Strode, even though they kind of undo it in the canon, chopping off Michael Myers' head.
I know, it's pretty badass.
That's really badass. She will go for it. Sidney has also had to use violence and fight people off, but I feel like Laurie Strode, at a certain point, has had it and is going to do what needs to be done.
I'll tell you what. I think I've got it. So, Laurie Strode has different incarnations because she chopped off Michael Myers' head in Halloween H2O, which has since been retconned out of continuity.
Yes, true.
Due to Halloween 2018, where she runs a Jigsaw's House of Death.
Yes.
With booby traps and a gun shooting range and...
Yeah, and, you know, like a secret compartment.
Right. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Sidney Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Scream... She kills Billy.
Yes.
By stabbing him in the chest with the umbrella, and then she shoots him in the head with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
She crushes Stu to death with a television set.
Right.
In Scream 2.
To death?
To death.
Does she?
Oh, I hope so.
I think so, but I'm just saying.
I hope Stu is dead.
There's minor chatter that like maybe Stu isn't dead. Maybe he could be coming back in Scream 5. I don't think so.
I love Matthew Lillard.
I'd be happy for it to happen because I'm curious.
Me too, but it would just feels like it would
so
defy.
Weird. It does defy. I think Stu is dead, but I was just having a little fun.
It does defy.
It does defy.
In Scream 2, she and Gale kill Mickey together.
Mm-hmm.
By shooting guns. She coldly puts another bullet in Mrs. Loomis's head, even though she's dead, just in case.
Just in case.
So she didn't kill her. So we'll count three.
I mean, to take nothing away from her, I feel that Laurie Strode, I have to be totally honest, I kind of forgot about 2018 Laurie Strode when I said that.
Yeah.
I still might feel the same way, but I wasn't even thinking about that. I feel that Laurie Strode at a certain point has a berserker quality to her that I think would have her blasting through any circumstances that are coming her way. But I also think Sydney has dispatched many a bad guy. So that is to say nothing against her.
Yeah. So, and then she doesn't kill Roman in Scream 3. Mm-hmm. Dewey kills Roman.
Mm-hmm.
In Scream 4, she kills her own cousin and then says, I don't know about you, but I feel a whole lot better. Which is...
I don't feel the same way about that line as you do.
I know, but we won't go into it. Right.
Yeah.
But so she's killed four people.
Yes.
And she has survived four major attacks.
Yes.
Sally Hardesty from Texas Chainsaw survived that movie, but didn't get a body count or fight back at all.
Right.
Alice killed Pamela Voorhees, which is badass.
I do really like her. She is badass, but there's something about just the numbers game of like the likelihood of somebody being the final girl. I guess I'm looking at numbers and brutality to a degree.
Which is why I think it has to come down between Laurie Strode and Sidney Prescott.
Exactly.
I'm going to say Sidney. She has survived four ghost face murder sprees and killed four people.
I know. She's very wily. And I guess, let me think about this. Really, what am I basing my Laurie Strode thing on? I am mainly basing my Laurie Strode thing on the events of Halloween H2O. Because I like that she is just like...
She's so good in that movie.
Throwing down. But numbers-wise...
Yeah.
Sydney has the equal amount of moxie, I would say, plus the numbers.
Right. She doesn't quite have the hardcore, I'm going to kill you thing. Although in Scream 2, she goes, there's one other thing you're forgetting about Billy Loomis. I fucking killed him.
Yes, which is so sweet. Ugh. God, I love Sydney.
Can we just redo our commentary tracks?
Yes.
Do them again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going with Sydney.
After reflection, I am also going Sydney.
Okay. Yeah, Laurie Strode... Depending on continuity, there are three different continuities for her, at least. Three main continuities.
I think for this, we can just have fun and think about all the continuities.
All of them together? She's done it all?
Okay. I don't see why not.
Then
for this kind of hypothetical.
She's been in five Michael Myers attacks and been killed in one of them.
Right, right. So that's a knock.
Yeah, that's a knock. That's a knock. All right, yeah, Sydney.
I am also going Sydney
for
this, yes. But it was close. All right, this is an interesting question. Caitlin said, also, I know you don't really like It, but if Pennywise would have come for you when you were 11, what form would he have taken?
Oh, right. So in It, he tends to embody things that scare you.
Mm-hmm, or like mentally bother you a lot.
Yeah.
Things that weigh on your mind.
But that's weird because like in It Chapter 2, granted I'm thinking about the most recent movie, he becomes a nude old woman.
I know. Is that something that was like really living in the regular consciousness of that kid?
Yeah, was Beverly Marsh thinking
about as she was an adult, right?
Adult Beverly Marsh thinking about how scary it would be if a stranger got nude around you and
I feel Pennywise kind of went off script a little bit there. I was like, I'll just be something scary and unsettling.
I'm just going to do something weird.
Mm-hmm. But
he becomes
Paul
Bunyan for, Bill Hader. He becomes Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, I guess Pennywise. So am I incorrect then? Because maybe the movie isn't the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe he doesn't always become your specific fear. Because think about it. Like when I can't remember who he's interacting with in the book, but when he turns into like a werewolf wearing a Letterman jacket, that's probably not that kid's specific fear.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I guess maybe he just turns into a scary thing.
Stuff. What would scare you? I think this is sort of the Bogart notion, but it's not personal.
I know.
Just what would scare you?
I know.
For me, it would be really anything.
But to say, when I was 11, when I was thinking it was Bogart, I was like, kids making fun of me. If he turned into like a kid making fun of me, that would have worked like gangbusters. But for just a thing scaring me, God. Yeah, like anything. At that point, a little bit more clowns, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So himself.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't shapeshift at all.
Honestly, yeah. Honestly, yes.
It would just be Pennywise.
Yes. Okay. He could just come for me.
I think that counts.
Yeah. Yeah. He could do that thing that Bill Skarsgård did in the later movie where he's like, bah, 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 coming. Yeah. That would have really scared me.
Yeah, wobbly run.
Yep.
For me, I think it would be end up being some sort of a parental type figure. Not mm-hmm. literally our parents.
Right, but like a stern
adult who's supposedly in some place of power over yeah. me. I'm in my mid 30s now. I'm going to have a daughter.
Yeah.
Like I'm the parent
right.
or soon to be.
Right.
So it's
I will never respect you as such.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But like there, I'm reaching the end of having people that I answer to.
Yeah.
Right?
There's, yeah, right.
Who do I... Not I have a boss. Many.
Boss? Mom?
Yeah. I would answer to mom.
Yeah.
She doesn't put me in the position of needing to. But right. I do still have stress dreams of being in a class where the teacher is yelling at me.
Yeah.
All of those things. I think that Pennywise would put me in one of those stress dream nightmare scenarios of like... You know, it's first day of school. I don't know where my classroom is. Mm-hmm. Nobody's nice to me. It's that thing, which yeah. is a very new kid kind of
true
nightmare. We moved a couple of times as kids, and I wonder if that is why that scenario plays in my mind, because I did go to new schools and didn't right. know where I was going.
Oh, God.
That nightmare already happened to me then.
Yeah, so you've conquered it.
I've already lived that. Well, did I?
It seems like you're here.
I guess.
You made it to yeah. where you needed to go in the school.
Do you know
and you got out.
Survived literally everything that's ever happened to us.
I know.
You out there listening, you've survived literally everything that's been thrown at you.
I know.
Pretty cool.
That's very nice.
Way to go.
It's an uplifting thought. Okay, this is something, William, I'm going to need your help with.
Sure.
This is something a little bit research-based. Hayden says, can we get an update on the states that listen most or the most downloaded episode?
Ooh, yes.
Let's take a look at this. I'm curious. I haven't looked at this in a long time. And somebody actually, it may have been Hayden, may have been somebody else, made a separate post in the group not that long ago saying like, hey, can we get an update on Alaska? Are they still like not into
right.
you guys? Because at a certain point, Alaska was the state that listened to us least. And so we did an episode about Alaska to pander to them.
That's funny. Yeah, we can definitely. I'd be very curious to see this myself.
Let's check it out.
So I'm going to run our all-time stats, and let's take a look at the map here. So we're going to go by United States, yeah?
Uh-huh, yep.
Okay. All right.
All right, so it's currently loading. Do you have any guesses?
The state
that listens to us the most?
I would have just probably picked like a Nebraska.
The most?
Oh, not most. Not most. Okay. I'm sorry. Not most.
We're looking for the most.
California, New York.
Same.
Yeah.
Yes. That is traditionally what it's been.
Yeah. Least I would have said Nebraska, which
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to literally give away our numbers.
You don't have to give away the number. Just say, I thought it was on the screen for a second.
You know
no, just say what's the most, and then let's say what's the least for fun.
The most appears to be, the most by a hair
yeah, look
is
at that.
New York.
The major cities seem to like Guide to the Unknown.
Yeah, our software parses it out by city, not state.
Yep.
So California, I think, is technically in the lead because there are different, you know,
yes,
major cities that are within California. But New York City just barely ekes out LA for our top listens.
Mm-hmm.
Some power players in there.
Yeah, nice. And then we have Chicago and Dallas.
Chicago and Dallas. Yeah, our top five cities, New York, LA, Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta.
Cool. That's awesome.
Our lowest cities.
Yeah, let's find out. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Okay. Two listens in Alpena. Where is that?
I wish they would throw a state.
Yeah, me too. All right, hang on. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, where is Alpena? Juneau, Alaska, I can tell you, has... we've only got 13 listens in Juneau, Alaska, ever, over the course of 3 years.
Michigan. Alpena is in Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Yes.
So, not great.
Not great. So, there. That to answer your question, Hayden, our least listened, or how is it phrased? The state that listens... Oh, you asked for most. That is California. The least you didn't ask about, but we're giving to you, is Michigan, I guess. And what is our most downloaded episode?
I want to see that. Let me just stay on states for a quick moment.
Okay. Fine
because by me. Alaska is no longer the state that's listened to us the least.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our Alaska episode
right.
fixed that. Our Ooh. New least, from what I can tell at a quick glance, I have not looked at this in a while. North Dakota's pretty low. Delaware is pretty bad.
Oh, come on.
Our new low, I'm in Delaware. I think, with just a few hundred listens, Wyoming. I think we're going to have to cover Wyoming folklore soon and see if we can get this number up.
All right, let's see what we can do.
Wyoming is the new...
Is the new Alaska. That's what they say. Wyoming is the new Alaska.
That is what they say, huh? Wyoming is the new Alaska. All right, our lowest episode.
Or no, I think it was the most downloaded episode. Oh, most but we can check out both.
Okay. The easy most downloaded episode is Guide to the Unknown 1. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to try to start at the beginning if they're going back through the catalog.
That makes sense.
But to ignore that and try to jump somewhere less predictable, mm-hmm. episode 146, Haunted Amusement Parks. Seems to be a crowd pleaser. A lot of people have flocked to that one.
Our top five
most listened to episodes are, ignoring the beginning of our catalog, because I just think that's a cheat. People try it, and maybe they don't stick with us, but the ones that people flock to. The top five are episode 146, Haunted Amusement Parks. Episode 150, Scary Stories from Listeners Like You, which that's great to know. We could do more listener stories. I guess people will enjoy that.
Yeah.
Episode 149, Spirits of Somerset County, which is actually one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Episode 148, Rituals and Games. And episode 151, Slasher History. All recent ones, which might also be askew in the numbers.
Right, exactly. Maybe people are checking those out first.
Yeah, maybe they're coming to later stuff too. But that's awesome. That is where the numbers sit.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for asking, Hayden, because this was instructional for me as well.
Yes.
Very cool. All right, now let's jump over to a question from Lindsay. What's the most convincing piece of paranormal evidence or story you have read/seen/experienced? I know Will's not a believer, but I'm curious if there's anything that made him question it.
I do have a story that I've told before.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that springs to mind for you?
For me, it really is when I went to that tarot card reader/psychic in Reading, Connecticut, and they said, "Who's Richard Robert?"
Right.
I had just walked in off the street. It's not like I made an appointment and they could Google me or anything like that. That is so weird.
That is weird.
It's unbelievably weird to me.
Yeah.
It's our father's name. We weren't even talking about him. We were talking about job stuff.
Right.
And then she went, "Do you have any other questions for me?" And I was like, let's wrap this up. Because I hadn't found it very illuminating, this tarot card reading I had. Actually, they weren't tarot cards, but it doesn't matter. And then she just went, "Who's Richard Robert?" And I was like, blah!
Yeah.
It wasn't even on the table.
Yeah.
So that for me, when I am kind of thinking a little bit more critically and being like, "You're so ridiculous that you even entertain this stuff," I go, "But what about that time that lady said, 'Who's Richard Robert?' to me?"
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is pretty wild.
There's no explanation for it. Nothing feasible to me. Right. I know that saying psychic stuff isn't feasible,
it's stuff that's complicated. But Richard, is it more complicated than
how would that have
commune with the other side? I don't know.
To pull two names, that go perfectly together,
right? Two great names that go great together.
Exactly. So weird. So for me, that is the thing I go back to as like the most convincing thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah. Mine is also something that I personally experienced. I think, for a moment there, I tried to really consider, is there anything that I've ever seen, in a video or heard or something that stood out to me as real? But honestly, not much comes to mind because I think it would be very hard for me to see something in a video and treat it as real.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the only thing I can think of is something that happened to me. Because it's the only thing that I can't prove or disprove
or be skeptical about. Yeah, exactly.
Because I know it happened to me.
Right.
It was shortly after our grandma died and I was just getting home from work and I was walking up to the front door and I very clearly heard what sounded like somebody exhaling right next to my head. Mm-hmm. Just like a breathy sound. I can still hear it pretty clearly in my head as I remember it. No idea what it was. No one near me. It was the middle of the night. And it really felt like it was not, down the street or something. It felt like mm-hmm. it was into my ear.
Right.
So that's the one weird for me. It could still be obviously there, and just like I was saying for you, like there is an explanation. If you want one, you can find an explanation to say why it's not real. But yeah, that to me was the closest, the realest sort of unexplained. I don't know what that was, but I experienced it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. So here is a question from Anne Marie. What do you personally find to be the scariest thing, person, entity, force of nature, circumstance, etc., from all of the horror movies / shows / games you've seen? For instance, are you more afraid of a crazed slasher with a knife, a ghost / spirit, an intergenerational curse, a haunted house / property, etc.? Out of all those things, what do you think is like the scariest thing?
Yeah. You know, this is a very weird one. I talked about this recently, the movie Carnival of Souls. Mm-hmm. So there's a really interesting mechanism in that movie where the main character goes into it plays so much like a psychological problem.
Yeah.
Where just she starts to notice that suddenly, like you and I are speaking to each other right here, just fine. But then all of a sudden, you wouldn't even know that I was in the room. You know, you don't look at me, you don't talk to me, and I'd be sitting here going, Kristen, mm-hmm. why aren't you talking to me? What's going on? And the main character like will like run down the street and grab people by the shoulders and be like, can you see me? Come on, can't you hear me? And she's so like confused, and it plays like a neurological issue almost of she is not interpreting the world correctly.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so she's trapped in a prison of her own mind, maybe. I think it's something psychological. Mm-hmm. Something psychological like that where, is it supernatural? Maybe. You know, in a cinematic language, I guess, yes. Mm-hmm. But it feels like the sort of thing that the reality would be that I'm sitting in a room, but I'm trapped in my own mind.
Right.
That, ugh, I think, is the thing that's the most frightening to me. It's got the most, like, emotional gut punch. Mm-hmm. You're the version of your loved ones that your brain might create to talk to you.
Right.
That kind of thing, I think, is the scariest to me.
Oh, God. That's very, very sad.
What about you?
Well, I guess I went a different direction. If I'm just thinking about like a thing that's scary and makes me viscerally be like, ugh, it's something I've talked about before on the show. Anything huge. Whether it's Godzilla or it's some sort of like weather event, like in that movie I've never seen with Jake Gyllenhaal about.
Oh, The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, The Day After Tomorrow. Tornadoes, things like that, that are like huge and they're coming and there's nothing that you can do about it. They are just these destructive forces that you can't just like take down. You can't give it an exorcism.
Sure.
You can't whatever. Those, while I'm watching the movie, I'm in it and I'm freaked out. They make me feel like claustrophobic and like, ugh.
You know, the beginning of Independence Day when Will Smith looks out the windows and he sees that his neighbors are all packing their cars and
yeah,
they're like getting ready to drive away to I don't know where.
Yes.
Is that sort of thing something, yes, that would terrify you?
Yes.
So does the global pandemic sort of trigger that at all?
Just a little bit. Not quite as much. If it got crazier, like I remember at the beginning of it, people were talking, and I'm sure some people have done this. There were some people who are like preppers or things like that who are like, see, we knew it. We're all going to have to like go underground.
Right.
We're going to have to be trading coffee as currency. Like it's a whole thing. If that had actually progressed that way, I don't think it's unique. I'm sure it'd freak everybody out. But yes, I would have been very,
yeah,
very, that would ping my anxiety like nobody's business. That
the
would
world
freak
me has
out.
Changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Irrevocably.
Yeah.
Or in like a humongous way. Like everything's completely different.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get that.
That freaks me out.
So neither one of us went for, you know, Michael Myers. We both went for things that make us feel small.
Yes. Yes. And powerless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just scary to me. It's just,
blah. It's scary.
Freaks me out. All right, so let's jump over to some questions from our Patreon page because we haven't done that yet in this set.
Sure.
So this is a question from Sherry. This is a fun one. We had said that the questions can be anything. They can be personal, they can be goofy, they can be whatever.
Yeah, I love the party atmosphere of like,
yeah, whatever,
just throw weird stuff at us. I don't care.
Whatever you feel like talking about, let's talk about.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Sherry said, "I'm always hungry, so I want to know what your favorite all-time meal is and all-time favorite candy / snack." snack? And then there are a couple of follow-up questions. So let's start there.
Yeah.
All-time favorite meal and all-time favorite candy slash snack.
Candy is going to be a Reese's Take Five.
Mm-hmm.
A little peanut butter, a little pretzel.
Yep.
Salty, chocolatey.
Mine.
Wonderful.
Mine is not so far away from that, and it is a, I think it's called, I obviously don't have it very often. I think it's called a Butterfinger Crunch or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It is basically.
Crisp?
Yeah, Butterfinger Crisp. It's basically a Kit Kat, but instead of whatever is between the layers of the wafers and a Kit Kat, it's like Butterfingery filling. So you right. get like the taste of a Butterfinger with the texture of a Kit Kat. That is my favorite candy. It's very good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about meal?
Favorite meal? Dumplings.
Is it dumplings?
I think it's dumplings. I love dumplings.
What variety of dumpling?
I'll have any of them. I like vegetable dumplings, steamed? Chicken dumplings, steamed or fried.
Really?
I love dumplings.
Soup dumpling.
Yeah, soup dumpling.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love any kind of pocket food. I love dumplings. I love empanadas.
Yeah.
What else? Other things.
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Burrito.
I like them. I'm not obsessed.
Okay.
Jamaican beef patty. I like pocket foods. So that's my favorite meal is just like a display of dumplings.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. How about you?
Couldn't be easier. Mm. Couldn't be simpler. I'm a simple man.
Yeah.
I'm going to say buffalo chicken pizza.
All right. Wonderful. That's a great answer.
Wonderful.
Okay. Now your favorite snack. That's bit different.
Oh, snack is right.
Yeah. So middle of the day, you got to crunch a munch.
You know what I
what
like?
What are you going for?
I'm recently on a kick.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
You're prepared? I don't know if you are.
I don't know. Is this a particularly healthy snack you have sometimes?
No.
Okay, what is it?
This is, I'm just being weird.
Oh, okay. I react like that because William has been known to eat just straight up just a pile of steamed broccoli.
Oh, I love broccoli.
With nothing adorning it.
I prefer.
And I think that's great, but it's not for me.
I prefer my vegetables to have nothing on them.
Yeah, right.
And they're wonderful. They come out of the ground perfect. Anyway, I like a trio of things. I like goldfish crackers.
Okay.
Almonds.
Okay.
No salt.
Yeah.
And cherry tomatoes.
Together?
Yeah, those three. Those three things in a little trio.
So you put them all on a plate together?
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Uh-huh.
That sounds great.
Cherry tomatoes are self-contained.
Yeah.
Right? I love tomato,
mm-hmm.
but I think sliced tomato on a sandwich can sometimes just be slippy slidey.
It is dicey. Uh-huh. I like cherry tomatoes. We don't have enough time to get into my feelings on tomatoes. But cherry ones, the risk is much more lessened.
The risk?
Yeah, the risk of like disgustingness from a regular tomato.
You're a freak.
I know.
Kristen's got fruit issues.
I do. Yeah. Major fruit issues. My current favorite snack, it's funny to call it a snack. I sometimes pair it with other things that might be more snacky, but this is something that I love and I don't get it all the time because you can only, I mean, I'm sure you could get other places, but like by us, you can really only get it at Whole Foods. They have pickled garlic cloves at Whole Foods. They were at my house the other day. I don't know if you had one.
I did not.
In a little dish. They are so delicious. So sometimes I'm just walking by the fridge. I grab myself a garlic clove.
Really?
I love them.
Does it taste like garlic and pickles together?
It doesn't really taste like pickles per se, but it kind of, it's not like you're chomping on like a raw garlic clove where it'd be like really spicy kind
right,
of.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of a pickly vinegary flavor. It kind of changes the texture of a raw garlic clove. So you can just eat it like that. They are so delicious.
Interesting. I would mm-hmm. like to try that.
Oh my God. They're so good. Whenever we go to Whole Foods, I make sure to stock up.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Absolutely. Okay. So a follow-up question that was from Sherry is, what is our favorite episode of Seinfeld?
Ooh.
I know. This is a tough question. I'm not sure. The first thing I thought of just now, and I don't even know if it's a favorite, is a thing from Seinfeld, I just automatically pictured, and honestly, it might be because you and I were just talking about the movie Cape Fear, but when Uncle Leo has to briefly be in prison for some reason or something, and he grabs a bar to do a pull-up, and his fingers have Hello, Jerry written on
them. Jerry?
Yeah.
Hello.
Jerry, hello. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's I think that is the same. He's sold Uncle Leo out.
Oh, for Nana's checks? Or?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe for Nana's checks. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I've got, in my head, I went to two places instantly. One was Man Hands.
Yep.
Which I remember really liking a whole lot. And yes. The other is the Van Buren Boys.
Ugh, the Van Buren Boys.
Kramer is
so
accosted
funny.
In a pizzeria and he's holding a salt shaker. So when he puts his hands up, he's only showing 8 fingers. And Martin Van Buren was so the funny. 8th president. And so that's their secret sign.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's such a good show.
It's a great show.
I would like to also call out when George is dating that girl from Elaine's office who thinks he's like a badass
yep.
because Elaine doesn't want her to date him because he's like a loser and she thinks that he's just going to drag that girl down. And she takes it to mean he's some sort of rebel.
Right. And so she's now going behind Elaine's back to date George.
Yeah.
As if he's a badass.
It's so funny.
I would also like to throw out the episode where George believes that the pact between man and animal has been broken because mm-hmm. the deal is... You run and the pigeons get out of your way.
Right.
But he runs and he stomps all over the pigeons. He's upset about it. It's great.
We could do this for a long time. Seinfeld great. Is the best show.
It's wonderful.
Okay. And then last of Sherry's questions in this group is, she says, what is our favorite ride at Disney other than the Haunted Mansion? I know.
I was so prepared to say the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
The rug got pulled out from under me.
That's right.
My answer is quite easy.
Yes.
3-word answer. Pirates of Caribbean.
I was with you until you said 3-word. That is also
4
mine.
Words.
Yes.
Pirates of Caribbean.
Pirates of Caribbean is both of our second favorite rides at Disney. It's boss as hell.
When Kristen and I were at Disney together a few years back, we would truly walk from Haunted Mansion to Pirates of the Caribbean, back to Haunted Mansion, back to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Just keep going in a loop.
It's all
low
I need.
And slow.
Mm-hmm.
You sit in a chair.
That's my speed.
That's my kind of ride. I love it. It tells a little bit of a story. You can interpret it along the way. Wonderful.
It's fantastic.
And it's in the dark.
Yeah, it's in the dark. You're just looking at a bunch of cool stuff while you're sitting there.
Dark and slow.
Yes, a dark ride.
Yeah, a dark ride.
I love it. I love a dark ride.
Love it.
All right, Will, before we move on, I think that we should tell the people a little bit more about ourselves.
Very well. Yeah, okay. We're not telling them enough about us.
Yeah, right. True. So, Guide to the Unknown comes out every Friday in any podcast app and on youtube.com/talkbomb, where we release the unedited version of the show. So you can watch us have these discussions, plus a little bit extra at the beginning and end of the show.
Yeah.
We also have a Patreon page that has lots of cool bonuses if you decide to donate to us and help support the show, keep it going, and kind of keep this community going. If you go to patreon.com/gttupod and you donate $4 or more per month, you get a bonus podcast called The Netherworld Dispatch that nobody else gets that comes out monthly. You can join us during a monthly live stream where we plan out the next month of shows and you can kind of see how we plan out our shows and you'll know what's coming and you can even suggest topics to us. And there's also a Discord that's only for Patreon members, which is basically a modern day chat room where you can talk to other people who are into Guides to the Unknown about all kinds of different things. And it is very, very cool.
Super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a whole little community around Guide to the Unknown, which is quite lovely.
Yeah, it really is. And you can find all of that stuff if you go to gttupod.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that very community that enables us to do an episode like this.
It's correct.
Which is correct. Pirates of Caribbean. It's correct.
My God.
But breaking our own sort of format so that we can just sort of answer a wide spectrum of questions is something that we can only do because there are people out there that enjoy this show and listen to it and are curious to hear our answers.
Right.
So thank you all so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You probably love coffee, and you definitely love the paranormal. So do we have a small business for you. Black Triangle Coffee specializes in small batch roasted coffees with a love and appreciation for UFOs, UFO lore, the bizarre, and the unknown. Let them share strange stories and good coffee with you. Black Triangle Coffee roasts Ethiopian Misty Valley Yirgacheffe, Mexican Chiapas, Costa Rican and Sumatran coffee beans to create their blends and specialty flavors. And Black Triangle Coffee is run by husband and wife team Andrew and Ashley Lowe. So there is this awesome themed storytelling sort of flavor, pun not intended, to what they sell. And let me read you one of their coffee descriptions from their website. Skinwalker Espresso is inspired by the infamous shape-shifting Skinwalker legend. Skinwalker Espresso is a special blend of Costa Rican and Sumatran beans, roasted on two different levels to bring out the dark, bold taste of espresso with the full, rich flavor of Central American coffee. This blend truly is the shapeshifter. And the other flavors they have are Sasquatch Cinnamon, Witching Hour Citrus, Dark Theory, and ET Vanilla. You have to go check it out. It's such a cool site. All the descriptions sound awesome like that, and I know you'd be super into it. So go to blacktrianglecoffee.com to get yours. And for 30 days from this broadcast, you can get an extra 15% off your order when you use the code GTTUPODCOFFEE. You can also follow them at B_T_coffee on Twitter and at Black Triangle Coffee on Instagram and Facebook, where people leave reviews like this one. Unmatched flavor and character to these coffees. I enjoyed the Sasquatch Cinnamon immensely. When passion meets craftsmanship, you cannot go wrong, and we couldn't agree more. So make sure you head to blacktrianglecoffee.com and use promo code GTTUPODCOFFEE for the next 30 days to get 15% off. That's blacktrianglecoffee.com. Okay, so let's move on. This is another question from Patreon. This is from Thomas. While viewing the Purge series of movies, I always think about all the other activities going on besides murder. If the Purge was real, what illegal activity would you both be tempted to do that does not include any form of violence? And he gives an example. Personally, he would like to see how fast his vehicle could go.
Oh, that's you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's very wholesome. I like it.
That is wholesome.
I will say, this kind of connects to the question of what horror things I find most scary. I find The Purge very disturbing.
That, I think, is sort of like a global sea change type
yes.
of moment.
So it fits right into that slot of things for me that freak me out. I've actually only seen The Purge 2, weirdly. And when I saw it, I had two nightmares about it in the same week.
Oh, wow.
It freaks me out.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's an interesting concept.
I don't like upheaval.
I haven't seen many of the movies.
You haven't seen many of them, or you haven't seen any of them?
Many. Yeah. I think I saw one of them with Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I
went to the movies. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Boy, what would I do?
I know. I'm trying to think. What things
I like that the part of the question is, besides committing violence, as if we would be like...
I know.
I've always wanted to find out what it's like to kill a man.
I have a feeling
just
Thomas.
Just wrap my heads around their head and squeeze.
I have a feeling Thomas is letting us off the hook and being kind because he knew that we wouldn't want to answer anything about violence. So he's like, let me give these kids a little guideline.
Probably, yeah.
I'm trying to think, what things would I do, but they're illegal? You know, the fact that there might be anarchy going on would kind of prevent these things. So I'm going to put that aside so I don't have to think too real world about it. But like trespassing places at night. I would enjoy doing.
That's dangerous.
That's what I'm saying. If we put aside that there's anarchy going on in the world of the Purge.
You've seen at least the trailers for these movies where people like deck themselves out with neon masks.
Again. I'm putting that aside.
That neon gang from Batman Forever.
I know. They're around and about.
Yeah.
No, if I'm putting that aside and saying magical world where I'm just not going to get prosecuted for something, but there's also not danger,
okay.
I would like to go to places at night that you're not supposed to go to.
Like what?
I want to walk around the closed mall. I want to go to that little old town that's on River Road here. That's like old colonial houses. I want to go there at night and poke around in them.
Yeah.
Be very cool. I was actually just thinking about the fact that I want us to do, and I know you do too, that I want us to record an episode in a haunted place and just record the normal episode, and but just see if anything happens in the liminality around that. But I was thinking like, I have to get in touch with somebody and arrange that, whatever. So if I could just do anything, we would just go do that lawlessly.
Right. If the Purge is on, we can just do a show wherever we want.
Right. But... if I'm adhering a little bit more to Thomas's question and saying if the Purge is real and I have to operate within those confines and worry about the fact that, yes, if I break into the mall, the neon gang from Batman Forever is going to be there, so I can't go there.
They are definitely like a Purge gang.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
They're trolling the streets. Yeah. What would I do that's also safe? Nothing. If the Purge is going on, I am hunkering
down.
I am locked down so incredibly tight.
Okay. See, that's where I'm at too.
Mm-hmm.
Not only am I locked down, I am still able to let my freak flag fly.
Okay.
Because in my locked down house, I'm downloading everything that's ever been made.
Oh, okay. This is interesting.
I think that the days of Kazaa and LimeWire would be...
Here again. Napster's back in business.
I believe in paying the artist,
yes,
Kristen.
I do too.
I believe that people deserve to get the clicks and to sit through the ads. And I believe all that stuff.
I do too. I really do.
However, I'm not leaving my house during the purge.
No.
And the opportunity is there. I'm literally going to download every movie that's ever been made.
Yeah. Does the purge extend to online stuff, though? Like, would... Oh, yeah, I guess it does. Why not? Yeah.
The internet is
I feel like you would have to be careful on the internet, and especially on LimeWire and things like that during the purge.
I don't know if LimeWire actually exists anymore.
Let's say that it does. Okay. I feel like somebody's putting snuff movies on there, but they say that they're trolls, too. I think you have to be very careful.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Why'd you go to Trolls 2 as the thing that I'd be downloading?
For your daughter.
Oh, you've got me.
Yeah.
Hey, you got me good.
But I don't know why I didn't just say Trolls.
Yeah, so Trolls 2. That's still, Trolls 2 World Tour.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because at the start of the lockdown, Trolls had been released and they put it on.
Wow, I wonder if that actually...
It blew up. I'm serious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I wonder if that is. It kind of like wormed in my head. Yeah. Brains are crazy. But, yeah, the purge.
I don't need the purge.
God, no.
I do love the idea of going to the mall at night.
Yeah.
I do. Boy, what was I watching the other night? I was watching a movie, and I've got a real low-key obsession with places you're not supposed to be.
Yeah, it's the best.
Even just getting to be, like, backstage somewhere.
Yeah.
Even getting to be like on like a film set that I have no part of. Like, I just want to see these places that exist that I have no right to go there.
Have you, I sent you this YouTube channel a couple of weeks ago. I think it's called The Proper People or something like that. It's a YouTube channel of people who investigate abandoned places. I'm going to find it right now so it doesn't drive everybody crazy. But I also love that. That's why I think that I've said it on the show before. Especially when quarantine was a little bit more intense, I was taking my dog Crumbs to walk at old schools that were closed down because it was just so weird and like you're not supposed to be there and it's very fun. But also schools, nobody really cares.
Schools are cool. I miss the feeling of like going into like a giant auditorium. I have no reason
they are cool.
to be in there anymore. A room that just has a podium in it.
Yes.
You know, like
I
want to go to town hall. You know, like, I want to go to these, like, places that, like, I guess I could go to town
hall. I'm about to say, the thing is, you could go to town hall, but...
But there are people there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're not really just going to be able to, like, hang out and walk around. There are going to be consequences if you go to town hall. I too enjoy going places that you're not really supposed to be in, at least not at that time. So I'd be very into that.
Right.
I'm trying to find this channel. What the hell is it? Maybe if I write it in... God, guys, I'm sorry.
Kristen can't hack them.
It is the proper people. Okay, it's the proper people. So go check that out. Their most recent video is from 1 week ago, and it is exploring the Cincinnati Mills Mall. Abandoned, yet still open.
I do think that's rad.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I would love to go to an abandoned mall.
Yeah.
And have it be guaranteed safe.
Yeah, let's... Okay, so now let's move back over to our Facebook group Secret Society questions.
Sure.
This is from Jamie. If you had to spend the night in lockdown, cue Ghost Adventures theme, at any allegedly haunted location, where would it be and why?
Got it.
What?
Stanley Hotel.
Yeah, Stanley Hotel. It kind of plays into what we were just talking about, like a big empty thing. I would love to do that.
Yes.
So same, honestly, Stanley Hotel.
Really?
It's massive.
Can't always have the same answer to these things.
You're right. Okay, let me think about something
else. I like how it's your problem to come up with a new one, not me.
Yeah, I know. Well, you said it first, so it's fair.
All right.
Let me see. What's another like notoriously haunted place that I would like to...
Winchester Mystery House.
Ooh, yeah. That would be very cool. Okay, the Queen Mary ghost ship.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has kind of a similar feel where it's like massive and during a lockdown, I'm assuming, in this kind of scenario, that it could just be us going through and exploring it.
Yep.
I think that'd be very fun. It's docked, So not like I'm out at sea or whatever. It feels safe. I can get right off of it. But like explore the innards of a cruise ship.
I know. Yeah.
Very
cool. The Stanley Hotel and the Queen Mary are both sort of like fancy pants kind of places.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the sort of upper class environment that's a little old,
a little off
and weird. Yeah.
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 I do too. That
sounds very fun to me.
I agree. Okay. So this is a question from Mirandia. What is your favorite ghost story? It can be a purely fictional story or one of that is supposedly true or even both. Let me think. What's something I come back to over and over again that I can just read stuff about? Let's see. I think it kind of used to be Amityville, and I think I'm a little Amityville'd out.
Yeah.
My perspective on it has also changed as an adult. I don't know about it. I don't know what I think about it.
Meaning like you don't know if it's like all a fabrication?
Yeah. I don't know if it was just a hoax.
Right.
For just whatever reason.
Yeah.
There are lots of things. I literally don't remember what I think about it. I have to look it all again. There are some things that I think that sometimes people have embellished, but that the root of it may have been true, but then sure. They got carried away or something. I don't remember if that's what I think about Amityville, but I feel I'm Amityville'd out. Do you have anything that springs to mind?
Yeah. It's very modern. It's very recent, but still, I think it's become my new go-to ghost story. The Haunting of Hill House, the Netflix series.
Again, that's what I was going to say next.
It is.
Or The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, it's just so, it's like perfect. It's
really
upsetting.
Is.
It's beautiful. It is very scary. I think that it is probably the closest approximation of what a ghost is in my estimation. My personal interpretation, that's like what that show has shown. Yeah, I think it's very classy.
Yeah, it is. It's a classy operation.
It's scary, yeah.
I might also say, as far as fictional stuff, The Shining. I seem to never be full.
Yeah.
I'll read or watch any kind of The Shining thing.
You know,
whether it's the actual movie or the book or Room 237 or Dr. Sleep. Did not care for the book at all, but actually loved the movie. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. We did an episode about that on Patreon.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved it. I think it's great.
Still want to do that that double feature.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. Double feature of Will and I watching The Shining and then Dr. Sleep back to back. But yeah, I seem to have an unquenchable thirst for The Shining.
You know, we covered a while back on the show, we covered a hotel called the Mount Washington Hotel. And there was the ghost of Carolyn Stickney, who lived in her, you know, she picked the suite that she lived in. She had a balcony where she could look out over everyone. And like there's a historical aspect to Hill House and The Shining, where things have happened in this place for decades and you can read the individual stories. And I think I really love the idea of old ghosts and mingling with new ghosts.
Yeah.
And there's a whole hierarchy of ghosts that are happening in these places, like the Overlook Hotel is packed. Hill House is packed.
Yes.
And the ghosts have different ages and they're from different time periods.
Yeah.
But not only that, Hill House does something that I also think, honestly, Ghostbusters does that I really like and am afraid of, where something changes about you when you're dead. So in Hill House, there's a ghost known as the Tall Man. And the idea was that in life, this guy felt very diminutive and he bricked himself into a wall like Cask of Monteado, the Edgar Allan Poe story. And in the spirit world, he grew big almost as a compensation mechanism.
Right.
But the way that that plays is that there's truly a 10-foot tall, gangly ghost that floats through the halls. And so he's human or was, but he doesn't look right anymore.
Right.
That scares me. And in Ghostbusters, I was always interested and weirded out by the idea that the Ghostbusters bust ghosts, right?
Yes.
But what you see them fighting are weird Slimers. And even
that's
Ghostbusters
like ghosts?
2, the Scolari brothers
right.
are said to be two brothers that were put on trial and given the death penalty. And so they were fried in an electric chair.
But
so
they're like warped.
All human stuff.
Yeah.
But when the ghosts come out, they're giant puppets.
Right.
They're big, exaggerated, caricature-like puppets. And that always communicated to me from a young age, something happens to you when you're dead that makes you look wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that really scares me.
That is scary. I don't find, being that I kind of believe in ghosts and stuff, I don't think that happens. I think it, I'm more inclined to believe something that we talked about in our hot takes episode, which is that maybe you age in the afterlife or right. maybe you don't. I just, it doesn't make sense to me why your physiology would change in some way, but there's no reason for it not to, because who knows what the hell's going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, ghosts are also depicted frequently as like becoming vaporous.
Right.
That's why, you know, like in Casper, they just have those like weird, their body just goes like a tail.
Yeah, right.
Thing
right.
Of smoke or whatever. Casper the Friendly Ghost, the movie, actually, Bill Pullman dies mm-hmm. in that movie in a very upsetting way. And when he comes back as a ghost, it's a cartoony looking Bill Pullman. And it's like, yeah, when you die, your ghost form still kind of looks human.
Right.
It looks human enough, but it doesn't look right.
Yes.
And I find that really alarming.
There's that
like
is
a
alarming.
Loss of identity or of self or... You know, we're alive and we're human, so we're mm-hmm. very much identified by our physiology.
Right.
We have skin and bones and muscle. And the idea that, like, this isn't really what we are,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
when our spirit lingers yeah. on, like, is maybe that's what we really are.
Ugh.
We're really, I'm a really a big fat big puppet Scolari brother.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I don't like it.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah, it is.
That's
weird.
That's the kind of stuff that I used to think about as a child.
Yeah,
without
yeah,
being
yeah.
able to like put it, without being able to verbalize
articulate it that way. Yeah, so it's just unsettled and just knocking around in there.
Yeah, just like all those ideas like folding in on themselves. Yeah. Like as I was a little boy watching and, Ghostbusters and loving it.
Right.
But also being like, what does this mean?
What does this imply?
Doesn't this mean something? This means something, right?
Okay, so Karen says, besides Scream and Blair Witch, what have been your favorite topics slash episodes you have done up to date? And what topic do you wish you could revisit and expand?
This is very interesting.
Woo!
This is very interesting.
God.
Favorite topic we've done to date.
That is tough. I know. I feel like I need to kind of scroll through our topics a little bit to just kind of refresh my memory, because we've talked about it a million times, but a memory wipe happens.
I know.
After we do these shows a lot of the times.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Hmm. Well, you know what? Something I saw that we did revive already, and I will say I really enjoyed that, is anything having to do with the Dybbuk box. That yeah. was one of our kind of early-ish episodes, not really at the beginning, but I remember that being really fun to talk about.
Yeah, that was fun. Boy, let me. I'm just gonna, as I'm looking
through
our list, Stonehenge.
I like talking about things that people have turned into like B&Bs rather than the event itself.
Right.
So rather than talking about like the Lizzie Borden murders or the Villisca Axe murders, talking about how somebody took that property and decided to make it an event space or a bed and breakfast
right.
or something like that. I find that very interesting. I kind of like taking a topic that could be sort of straightforward and finding a different angle to come at it.
That's interesting. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm trying to... So I'm looking at things like... actually, we covered the Queen Mary in episode 53.
Mm-hmm.
We covered Halloween and Michael Myers in 52. Ah, got it. Got it.
All
episode
right,
45, my absolute favorite, strangest thing. I'm like proud of this discovery.
Yes, I actually something to be proud of.
I actually pitched this as a story, not for me to write, but to a friend who's a writer whose like work is getting potentially turned into a movie, like
yep.
a pal. So episode 45 of Guide to the Unknown is called Chemo Jones and the Chupacabra Homepage.
Yeah, this was some wild stuff.
This was crazy. This was an episode that we didn't even plan to go the way that it went.
Right.
Where we were going to, I was going to cover this as part of our topic, and Kristen had a whole other thing planned.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we were talking, we just kept rolling with it. I found, weirdly, that I think it's Princeton.
Yes, it is.
Princeton University... A highly renowned mm-hmm. university secretly or
I think just forgotten to time.
Yeah, there's a forgotten website that is public about the Chupacabra. It's called the Chupacabra homepage, where somebody who went to Princeton University was documenting sightings of the Chupacabra.
So weird.
And not only that, it then spiraled into this whole thing about how there's a folk hero named Kimo Jones, named for Indiana Jones, which is why our episode is Kimo Jones and the Chupacabra homepage. And I made cover art that looks like an Indiana Jones, you know, movie or something like that. That is my absolute favorite thing.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I love it. I downloaded all of those websites just to store them in case Princeton got tipped off by our episode that they were there at all. Mm-hmm. I think that it's still alive, which tells me that maybe there's somebody on the inside who kind of enjoys that it's there.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Right? I'm going to try.
Well, actually, I don't know. I like to imagine, but I think if you really boil it down, I think they've just forgotten that this exists.
It's still
on the
here.
Princeton.edu.
If you Google site. If you yeah. Google the Chupacabra homepage, you'll find it. It's mm-hmm. Princeton.edu/tilde, ACCION/chupa, CHUPA.html.
It's so awesome.
And it is fantastic. The Chupacabra homepage, a myth, a legend. All we know is that it strikes in the night and has a weakness for blood. It is such an old 90s style website. It is so charming. And the mystery of why is this here? Why is this still here? Is so interesting to me.
It really is. So on either side of the webpage, it has black borders with white traditional gray alien outlines going down. There are also sometimes random eyes that are popping up on the website. It's so just of a time and so incredibly extensive. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of links here.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so weird that it lives on the Princeton.edu website.
Yeah, it's on Princeton's
yes.
website. It's crazy. It's hosted by Princeton.
Right.
With the click of a button, mm-hmm. they could erase this entire thing.
Yes.
And I'm so glad they haven't.
Same. I really think they just don't realize that it's there, and I hope they never find out.
I hope they never find out, but I also love mm-hmm. talking about it and putting it out there. I think it's wonderful. The Chupacabra homepage is my favorite. Ugh. Maybe it is worth looking into and seeing if there's any new information to be gleaned.
So are you saying then that is the topic that you wish that you could revisit and expand
yes.
on the most? This is?
Yes.
I don't know if there's anything to expand on beyond just like reading the articles, but I mean, I guess if we found Tito Armstrong who
I guarantee you that I could do more to uncover more of the story or find Tito Armstrong who made it or something. I definitely could. That sounds very fun to me.
Yeah. Something that I would like to revisit and expand on is we have an episode called Paranormal Berkshires,
yeah.
where Will and I and our spouses were staying in the Berkshires, like I think just overnight or something. And we both looked up some scary stories from the area. I would like to go back there and actually visit those places and have it be kind of like a special ghost hunty sort of episode where we investigate them a little bit.
I would love to do that too. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Because we've also found out a little bit more about the Berkshires since that episode. There was a black magic cult.
Yeah.
In the area yep. that we did not know about when we recorded that episode. So I would like to do research with that in mind specifically.
It's true.
And then maybe go to the area where they apparently had kind of like a retreat center. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to expand on that.
Yeah. There's a very fun show that Kristen and I got to be a part of called No Man's Land that goes a lot into
mm-hmm.
the sort of legends surrounding the Berkshires. So it'd be right. very fun to follow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of this stuff.
And also because we love the Berkshires so much. And that episode, Paranormal Berkshires, which is number 49, is like not great.
Berkshires is 43.
43. We all weren't really feeling good on that trip. We're all like right. kind of just like, eh. So I feel like we didn't do the Berkshires justice.
Yeah, we didn't do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun to me, especially with the way that we covered like the legends of Somerset County.
Right.
Where I feel like we got to such a granular level with local folklore. I would love to do that with the Berkshires.
Me too. Kind of right. turn that eye on yeah. the Berkshires. Okay, so Karen has a second question, and I think that this is going to take us on out.
Yeah.
Karen says, how do you guys prepare to record an episode? It seems on YouTube Lives like you and Will are just chatting effortlessly away about your topic without spending too much time on your notes. Does it help if the topic is interesting, or do you guys have a photographic memory?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to say I had a photographic memory.
I know. I do not. I don't have one either. So the way that we prepare, I will say for myself, is I do my research mostly with things online, depending on the topic. Sometimes I'll, you know, watch a show about it. Sometimes I have a book somewhere that's about the thing. So I will start. Here's a hot tip for you if you don't know this. If you use a Kindle, there is a Kindle app that you can get on. This will only work on your desktop computer, I believe. I don't think it'll just work on your Kindle device. There's a Kindle app and you can search for a certain word in the book that you're reading. So for instance, when we covered the Mount Washington Hotel, I had just read the book Life with the Afterlife by Amy Bruni, and I knew that it came up in a scattered way in the book. So I searched the word Washington in the Kindle book on my desktop.
To only and then, get hits for what you wanted.
Exactly. And yeah. then I kind of looked through there to find what I found. And I write my notes. You can actually see them if you're a Patreon member. That's another Patreon thing. It's not that big a deal, but I do it because it's kind of fun. Every Wednesday, I post a screenshot of my notes for the show, and that's literally what I'm looking at as we record. I try to not write in too conversational a way where I'm going to be glued to my notes. I try to give myself enough context that I'm going to know what I'm talking about, but that I can kind of look down and then kind of talk to Will and talk about it naturally.
Yeah, I'm pretty obsessed with finding, you know, sometimes we'll cover a topic that is not my personal bag, mm-hmm. you know? I always try to find the thing that interests me.
Yes, I should say that too. I might not always cover like what maybe another show would cover, right. but yeah, I mean, I think that we try to make the show something that will be interesting and fun for us. So I sometimes skip things that I personally find dry or whatever and zoom in on what I find like, oh, yes. that's kind of interesting.
And that even helps if that's in the note taking because yeah. that means that my notes are just loaded with things that are to me at least personally interesting, or I know I can spin into a yarn or yes. some weird thing. But I'm really obsessed also with keeping it pretty like light and fun. Mm-hmm. So whenever I write my notes, I usually, like you, will have just like a bunch of bullet points that sometimes it's a little factoid that I know I can, you know,
yeah, you know well enough
and
to
ramble.
Just talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So that way I'm not constantly reading my notes, and that way we get to have a conversation about it. I also like finding things in my research that are less things to tell you and more things for us to discuss, mm-hmm. so that it becomes like a back and forth.
Yeah.
I, you know, no shade on shows that do extensive research. I think those are incredibly valuable.
Absolutely.
But Guide to the Unknown to me is like a party about these things. So, you know, what are the kind of facts that you would tell just your friend? That's yeah. that's what I try to do here.
Right.
And that is why I also think that it doesn't happen much. This is like maybe 1% of the time that somebody will be like, they don't even know what they're talking about. And it's because we didn't mention something. Or, but it's like, that's not what this show is. This show is like enjoying and celebrating these topics rather than studying them so intensely.
Yeah.
Or dryly or anything.
Exactly. I sometimes find myself getting into a patch where I'm like writing the dates of things and like being like, oh, I need to be very, very accurate about this.
Right.
I still try not to be like flippant about things,
sure.
but I have to remember that I want to talk to my brother about this
right.
and have fun. Like, what would I tell you about this thing mm-hmm. in general if nothing else was going on? Would I be telling you that this happened on this date in this town? No, I'd be telling you a UFO landed in this place. It was really crazy.
It was muffed up.
Yeah, it was muffed. And yeah, so I also tried to lean on what will be fun to talk yeah. about this or interesting.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, I mean, if you watch a show, I am looking at my computer or my phone, you know, a decent amount and then looking up at Will. So
yeah.
I don't have a photographic memory, neither does Will, but I just try to write things in a way that I can take a look at where I am in time as far as how, like the order of things that I'm saying and be like, okay, it's that thing.
Here's another cheat
then,
though.
Yeah.
I think this is a good thing. I think that we are so used to doing the show live
yeah.
that we need it to be done in one take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something might go wrong where we need to edit something out, but usually we have the urgency of people watching us live spurring us on even if we flub something.
Yes.
So I think that really helps. We got into a good habit when we started podcasting together years ago, like 7-8 years ago, of you know, I used to record shows where we would record a little bit, then stop, then come back to it, whatever. But once we started trying to do live shows a million years ago, it was like, no, no, no. Those days have to be gone then. Mm-hmm. We have to be capable of hitting record and going for an hour.
Right.
So I think that we have always been in the mindset on Guide to the Unknown of we're going to be having fun for the whole hour straight through. And I think that helps the way that we write our notes and the way that we refer to our notes so that you can quickly glance over and then just throw a quote, mm-hmm. you know, at each other, yeah. something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice that it comes across, I guess, like we are so effortless. It's definitely effortful.
Yeah, it doesn't feel effortless, no. really. So thank you for saying that.
Thank you.
The recording feels fairly effortless, I will say. When we're sitting here recording, that's not effortful to me. The preparation is effort.
The preparation is
but
effort.
But doing it is
I
not.
I do also think there's a certain amount of pressure to tell your story right. Like, well, I will yeah. also pace my notes so that it's in, like, a story format. I know where it begins and ends.
Same.
So it's exciting.
Same. I will also say another little tip, in case it applies to anybody, is that I try to break my notes up so that it's not a big, long paragraph where I can't, if I am telling William something, I need to go back and look at the next thing that happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not searching the middle of a paragraph. I kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm bullet pointed out like, whoa.
Yeah. I'm not bullet pointed, but I just have spaces between things a lot. Yeah. So that kind of helps me. So thank you for saying that, Karen.
Thank you very much. Give me one more. I want one
yeah,
more.
I know. But to say, I kind of want like a zippy one to end on. It's going to be tricky when I start back up in this for the next listener questions episode, because we definitely have more
yeah,
and more questions.
More. I like answering questions.
I do too.
Yeah.
It is fun. And you guys submitted a lot more, which is really awesome. Okay. So let's end with this one from Patreon that Choyette asked.
Okay.
She said, so y'all might have already answered this one, but just in case you haven't, how do you feel about meta horror movies? We know Scream is a fave, but movies like You Might Be the Killer from 2018 or Cabin in the Woods from 2011. Have you seen You Might Be the Killer?
No, I've
I don't know about that.
That's interesting. I'll,
yeah.
That's one to check out.
Hmm. Okay.
I feel good about them.
I feel good about them too. I actually just rewatched Cabin in the Woods like 2 weeks ago. And it was great.
I love, love.
What a flick.
Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Bobby and I made a video essay.
Right.
Called Everything Right with Cabin in the Woods, which is very much a reaction to all of those channels that are like, a million things wrong with mm-hmm. Star Wars. And they like sort of nitpick things. It's
yeah.
for the sake of comedy, but still it's nitpicking.
Yeah.
So we made a video that's just straight up, again, party stuff, right? Like
yeah.
straight up celebrating how Cabin in the Woods like crushes.
Mm-hmm.
And so go check that out.
Yep.
It's on youtube.com/talkbomb. But no, I love that sort of thing.
I do
think
too.
That,
I think there are times where it goes a little bit too far, especially if they're trying to be too cute or funny with it. I definitely know that there are examples of meta things that I can't call up specifically, but where I've been like, whoa.
Right.
You know, like Scary Movie. Meta stuff, the
yeah,
movie Scary
true.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in general, I don't know. I like a referential horror thing.
So do I. Here's an interesting one for you. So Scream is widely cited as the one to get meta in the first place.
Yep.
We know that that's not really it, true.
Yeah, but it's...
It's the big one. It's the tentpole.
It's made a big boom.
Right. Scream... In the sequel, in Scream 2, they start doing a thing about the stab movies,
mm-hmm.
where now there are movies within the Scream universe based on the events of Scream. By the time you get to Scream 4, you've got about a 15-minute intro where you meet two characters. Oh, that was a stab movie. Then you meet your real characters. No, 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 that's another stab movie. So it was a movie within Stab, within Scream. That I think might be going too far for me.
Yeah, I just agree.
Right?
Yeah, I don't love that. It was just too much.
Yeah.
But in general, as a thing, without just going into specifics, I would say thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm into stories that break the you know conventional mm-hmm. rules of storytelling. So I'm about it.
I also think it's partially because horror is something that's like not really niche, but like semi-niche, and that people really value knowing a lot about. So it's kind of fun to be in on the references
yeah,
in a meta thing. You're like, I get this.
You're part of the...
I understand what's happening here. And it's fun. Like, yeah. It's not even necessarily that it makes you feel like, oh, I get it. But it's like, oh, I get it. They get it too.
We're speaking the
it's
same
It's fun
language.
To hear somebody talking about this.
1,000%. Love
something
it.
Something that... So this is not... entirely related to the question, but something really interesting that I wasn't aware of. And I wonder if some of you out there are aware of it, and maybe you even use this. Amazon, I think they did this accidentally. The version of Cabin in the Woods that was on Amazon Prime, at least a couple of weeks ago, the just default version when you hit it had, what do you call it? There were like audio cues for people who are visually impaired.
Oh, really?
So Ryan and I played it, and I haven't seen Cabin in the Woods in a while. And yeah. I was like, is this part of the movie? Because it is a meta kind of referential movie. So there would be the intro happens, whatever it is, it's AD, whatever AD stands for. The intro happens, and the intro is kind of referencing something that happens later in the movie where it's like blood kind of running through cracks. So there's music, but then you could hear a voice saying like cracked stone with blood running through the cracks.
Oh,
and then it would be like the bald man with coffee catches up to the other man. And then they were talking like the actual characters in the movie are talking to each other, Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford.
Yeah.
Whitford. And at first I was like, is this a thing where it's like there's a narrator of this and I just completely don't remember it? But no, it's for people who are visually impaired to enjoy a movie.
Oh.
So it just tells you what's happening on screen.
I don't think I even knew that that existed.
I had no idea that it existed until it had to be an accident. It was just what Amazon had on there.
Wow.
We had to
watch the whole movie with them?
No, we had to kind of like go through some stuff to get the version that didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Wow.
I had no idea. And it was really cool that that exists.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great resource.
I know. Yeah. So yeah, if that could be useful to anybody in any way, that's out there. Maybe you have to usually do a little bit more specifically looking for it.
Hell yeah.
But it's a thing.
If it brings more people to Cabin in the Woods.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. We really hope you enjoyed the episode. And like I said, there's going to be a part two, at least a part two.
At least a part two. I would love to do more of this.
It completely did. I
hope our answers were interesting enough for people out there that it also flew by for them, because honestly, this hour, I can't believe it's already over.
No, same. Yeah. So thank you so much. If you have any other questions for us, by all means, you could email them to us at gttupod@gmail.com. And even if they're not in this like next batch, we hang on to all those sorts of things and they will pop up later.
Yep. We're keeping everything.
Yeah.
Keeping tabs on you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Make sure you go to gttupod.com to check out all the stuff I talked about before. The Patreon page, which you can also access at patreon.com/gttupod. Also the Facebook group, the Guide to the Unknown Secret Society. We have merch. We have all kinds of cool stuff. And we'd also really, really appreciate it if you told your friends about the show and invited them to this party we're having.
Even tell your enemies.
Yeah. You know what?
Why not?
Come together.
Rebuild that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Also, make sure you check out the Chupacabra homepage.
Yep.
Still there.
Yeah, it's still kicking.
Still there in 2020, at least, as of this recording. Pretty rad.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mm-hmm. We will see you again in the future. We're about to become part of your past.
Yeah.
So until next time, we must travel.
Back to the netherworld. Go we. Let's go have another world party.
Time to go.
Time to go.
Time to go.
Let's go to there.
Let's go to
there.
What'd you say? Don't go to there?
No, I said let's go to there.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Okay. All right.
Great.
Yeah, that was awesome.